memorizing it, and tracing over her signature with my finger. I had slipped the drawing back into her suitcase. Yes, I was that good. Good night, Joanna.
Alfred. Good morning, Hannalora. Today shall be a busy day. In a few hours, we will begin registration for all of these fine ladies of the lake, the ships that will save thousands. There is quite an armada assembled here at the naval base. But my boat, the Vili G, as we navy men call her, is a real mackerel amidst the minnows. A letter arrived from Mutter. She informed me that nosy Frau Henkel has been gossiping untruths on our doorstep. Indeed, I saw the old swollen Frau peeking from beneath her curtains when those Hitler Youth irritants arrived at my door and insisted on coming inside. They were so arrogant and aggressive. I am thankful that Mutter was on an errand to the baker during their visit. Of course, I didn't mention the episode to her. The war had already disrupted her nerves to the point of exhaustion. But apparently, old Sow Henkel has brought it up. So I now feel compelled to make comment. After the pests left our home, I happened to be in our bathroom. I noticed that you promptly left your kitchen and walked toward the foyer when the boys of Hitler Youth came knocking. I still wonder why you moved so quickly to the door. We cannot be too cautious, Hannalora. Just because someone knocks on the door doesn't mean you have to open it. Sometimes, sweet girl, there are wolves at the door. If we are not careful, they might eat us.
Joanna. We left the movie house at dawn and walked to the port. The energy in the harbor had escalated to a frenzy. Refugees hauled possessions however they could. Ava dodged a man on a bicycle and pointed across the road. "Is that a dining table?" A tired horse dragged an inverted table loaded and strapped with belongings. "Talk about a last supper. Sorry," said Ava. A few hundred yards away sat Okthoft Station. Ava threaded through the crowd, collecting information. "They say wounded soldiers will be brought via train if the railways are still operating. Several claim the Russians have already bombed the entire track." Rumors spread like infection. Some said Berlin didn't care about the Germans in East Prussia. Others said boys as young as 12 were being conscripted, carrying guns taller than they were. "Why are you so nervous?" said Ava. "You know you're getting on a boat. You told me you've got a letter."
"Shh." I looked behind me to see if anyone was near. I don't want the others to know.
"Why the secrecy?" whispered Ava.
"I don't want them to think I'll have preferential treatment or opportunity."
"It's a letter from the doctor in Insterburg saying you're good at dealing with blood and guts, Joanna. I'm sorry, but I don't call that an opportunity," she said.
"The whole thing's unfair, Ava. You know that. Hitler allowed me into Germany. He thinks some Baltic people are Germanizable. But for every person like me that Hitler brought in, he pushed some poor soul like Amelia out." Ava shrugged.
"That's not fair. You're lucky."
I didn't feel lucky. I felt guilty.
"Do you think you have time to be moral?" snapped Ava. "The Russians are right around the corner. If you wait, they'll be under your skirt and you'll be dead. Sorry, but don't waste your time with some goodwill gesture for a lost Polish kid. Get in line and get on a boat. It's been nice to trek with everyone, but now we're here. I don't need a group. I need my belongings, and I need a ship."
I saw a young sailor digging through a pile of luggage.
"Excuse me," I said.
The sailor stood upright quickly, trying to conceal a crystal butterfly behind his back.
"Good morning, ladies. Alfred Frick, at your service."
Florian. I stood behind the shoe poet and the Polish girl, straining to hear the exchange between Joanna and the sailor. The Polish girl did her best to conceal me. the sailor rambled. I was sent to meet a train that's due in. I thought I would make use of the valuable time and perhaps reunite some precious items with their owners. Instead of questioning us, he was explaining himself. His rank, Matrosa, was the lowest for an enlisted seaman in the German Navy. Certainly, said Joanna. I won't take but a minute of your time. Could you tell us where and when registration begins? Ah, yes, that is the question of the day, isn't it? Registration will begin at 0700 hours on the eastern side of the quay. Of course, as you can see, there are many vessels. But that one, he pointed to the largest ship in the distance, that, ladies, is the Wilhelm Gustloff. That is my ship. Joanna looked carefully at the young man. Forgive me for asking, but what happens to your hands? He stuffed his hands in his pockets. Oh, it's nothing. Just a little skin irritation, sailors hazard. A small sacrifice for Germany. Eva rolled her eyes. I have a salve that will protect your hands and calm the irritation, said Joanna. The sailor looked down and mumbled something. I have medical training, said Joanna. I used to work in a hospital. The sailor's eyes brightened. Are you assigned to a ship? No, that's why I was asking about registration, said Joanna. Well then, consider this your day of good fortune, Fräulein. I'm waiting for a convoy of hospital trains and field ambulances. We're boarding our wounded men onto the Gustloff, you see. We have just one doctor. He's walking this way, and I will introduce you. This wasn't Joanna's day of good fortune. It was mine. This guy was a first-class booby. I stepped from behind the Polish girl to make my move, but Joanna spoke first. Oh, my, thank you, sailor. But you see, I have some important patients that I've been supervising. I'd have to take them with me. Well, if everyone's papers are in order, we can make a request. Wounded soldiers and members of the party will, of course, be boarded first. But I'm told that we will be evacuating many fine ladies, such as yourself. He gave Joanna a strange smile, his top lip curling over filmy teeth. Eva turned to me, annoyed. Is he the best that's left? I'm sorry, but I'm not putting my future in the hands of this heavy breather.
Alfred. The fates of fortune had found me. I had stumbled upon a qualified nurse just minutes before the trains carrying mutilated men would arrive. I grabbed the young woman by the sleeve and dragged her through the crowd. Dr. Richter! I shouted through the hordes of people. Dr. Richter, I have your nurse! I shoved the girl in front of the doctor. She nearly toppled over him. Stop right there! What are you doing? Asked the doctor. He offered a hand to steady the nurse. I'm sorry, sir, said the girl. This sailor thought you might need assistance. She pulled out her papers and handed them to the doctor. I was a surgeon's assistant in Insterburg. There's a recommendation among my papers. A surgeon's assistant, I grinned. Outstanding qualifications. The doctor quickly scanned through her papers. Are you registered yet? He asked. Not yet, sir, she replied. I have a convoy of wounded on the way. We don't have room for all of them. We need to quickly evaluate their condition. Those who are strong enough to make the voyage will be boarded onto ships. I'm traveling with priority patients, said the nurse, including an expectant mother who... Do you have maternity experience? Interrupted the doctor. Yes, I do. He handed back her papers. Help me here. We'll register you for the Gustloff after we sort the wounded. And my patient, sir? She asked. The doctor became annoyed. I don't have time. He then looked to me. You, the one who brought the nurse. What's your name? Frick, sir. Take her people to registration. Maybe one of the ships has space. The nurse removed a stethoscope from her bag and put it around her neck. The doctor nodded at me. Thank you, Frick. Happy to be of service. I stood tall, pleased. When given the opportunity, Alfred Frick rose to the occasion and seized the path of the hero's journey.
Joanna. Part of me felt drawn to the doctor and the opportunity to help the incoming patients, but I did not want to leave our group.
Go, my dear, said the shoe poet. Help others if you can. This young sailor will take us to registration. We'll come back and find you.
I knelt down to the wandering boy. Now, Klaus, you stay close to poet. Hold his hand. The boy nodded. I gave him a kiss. He held out his one-eared bunny for a kiss, and I obliged. Take care of him, poet, I said as I hugged the old man. Make sure you find me before boarding a ship.
The clock, reminded poet. We can meet under the clock.
A panting, soot-covered locomotive appeared in the distance. Amelia stepped toward me, eyes wide with fear. Don't worry, I told her. I have to help these people, but I'll help you too. I tugged her pink hat down and straightened it. Put on the lipstick, I whispered. I set my hand on her belly. I'll see you both tonight. Even from afar, I could see the train cars were stuffed with wounded and refugees. Passengers leaned out of the compartments screaming for help. Sailors rushed in, prepared with gurneys and pallets. The doctor began shouting instructions. And then, amidst the pandemonium, I heard him.
Joanna.
I turned toward the voice. The Prussian pulled me aside.
You wanted to know something, he whispered, moving in close.
His eyes found mine.
I'm Florian. My name is Florian.
He reached out and took one of my curls between his fingers. A blush of heat washed across my face. I grabbed the young sailor who had brought me to the doctor. What's your name? I asked him.
Frick, but you may call me Alfred.
Alfred, these people are very important. They have papers. I'm going to help the doctor, but these people must be taken to the same ship I will be on. Do you understand?
Yes, Fräulein, certainly.
The train, battered like a bruised fighter, hissed in the sidings. The doctor handed me a clipboard. Could I trust the sailor? Alfred, will you promise to take care of my group? This young mother is very important.
Leave it with me, Fräulein.
Urgent shouts came from the train.
Let's go, said the doctor.
I grabbed the Prussian and whispered in his good ear. Nice to meet you, Florian.
Amelia. She was leaving. Why did everyone leave me? But Joanna was special. A doctor had chosen her for work. A flurry of commotion erupted when the train arrived. We turned away from the tracks and followed the sailor toward the port. The sailor concerned me. Something shadowed lay beneath his surface. Ingrid would have felt it. As the group was talking to Joanna, a starving dog approached the sailor. The poor animal, too weak to even bark, sniffed plaintively at his feet. The sailor kicked the suffering creature away with his boot, annoyed and disgusted. Remember, don't speak, the knight whispered to me. You're Latvian. My knight hadn't left me yet. He was happy about something. The sailor, or Joanna, maybe both. But he would probably have to leave me, too. Father hadn't wanted to leave me. I had felt his struggle as I eavesdropped from behind the door. Promise me, Martin, Father had said to Mr. Kleist. Promise me you'll protect her, take care of her, love her like your own. She's all I have. I couldn't erase the memory of choked emotion in my father's voice. Mr. Kleist had promised.
Yes, Michal. We'll take good care of her. She'll love the countryside and the farm. Elsa and August will be happy to have another young voice in the house.
And what about Erna?
Asked Father.
Are you certain she will welcome her?
Erna... Yes, said Mr. Kleist.
I continually returned to the conversation in my mind. He had spoken the word yes, but something screamed no. And then I revisited the truth. Martin Kleist welcomed me. Elsa Kleist welcomed me. August Kleist truly welcomed me. But Erna Kleist? She did not welcome me. Ever.
Florian. Hundreds of thousands had descended upon Gotenhafen from the depths of East Prussia and the Baltic countries. They now pushed and floated, like human driftwood, near the harbor. Vehicles shrieked their horns, carving a narrow path through the sea of refugees. A crowd gathered around a small girl who had been hit by a car. Hooded crows feasted on the innards of a dead horse in front of an overturned wagon. People wandered, looking constantly to the sky in fear of the Black Death. On the side of the road, where the earth had been turned by tank treads, an emaciated cow wailed. Its udders had frozen and burst overnight.
"You will step aside, please! I am an official escort," announced the sailor who accompanied us.
The Polish girl tugged at my sleeve and gave me a concerned look. The sailor was drawing attention unnecessarily. He was more than a booby without experience. He was desperate to feel important. I knew the type. In the distance, I saw a group of party officials with their wives. The women wore thick fur coats and expensive jewelry. They were flanked by parlor maids carrying trunks and hat boxes. These were the privileged passengers, who would have priority boarding with the officers and wounded. They were also the type who could give me trouble.
"Say there, sailor. Hold up a minute."
I clapped him on the shoulder and he turned. I pulled him aside from our group, allowing the blistering noise to cover our conversation.
"You strike me as a man of confidence," I told him.
"Well, yes. What I really mean is a man of discretion," I clarified. "As the nurse mentioned, some of us are on important missions." I lowered my voice. "Perhaps even for the Führer himself." I removed the folded sheet of paper from my interior coat pocket.
"Oh, yes, I am quite discreet," he assured me, looking curiously at the paper.
"Then I can trust you to read this letter and speak of it to no one." I handed him the letter, and he began to read. The tops of his hands were baked in crusty red blisters. Just the sight of them made me itch. I scratched the back of my neck. The sailor looked up and started to salute.
"Don't do that. You'll draw attention."
"Oh, yes, Herr Beck. I understand. Yours is a secret mission." His face glowed with conspiratorial excitement. "I can't be diverted with other work or inquiries," I told him. "I have to board a ship, and preferably somewhere out of sight. But some of these officers, they might want to recruit me for their own efforts to pull me off my assignment. The others here, you can take them to registration. But if you can assist me with a discreet registration, I will recommend you to Galeiter Koch for commendation, and even to the Führer." I had his attention. "I see that the Reich has very efficient and organized practices here, sailor. But perhaps a man of your talents can provide options?" His lips twitched into a grin.
"I might have some extra boarding passes, taken only as mementos, of course.
Very smart of you, I assured him. And you have these passes with you? Alas, I do not. But I can get them. They are under my bunk. Then take these important people and get them registered for the nurse. Come find me at the movie house, just into town. Knock 3 times, 2x, and I'll open the door. His fingers began to flutter. Knock 3 times, 2x. Yes, Herr Beck. I'll do it. I gave him my best serious look, and lowered my voice to a whisper. Heil Hitler, sailor. Heil Hitler, sir.
Alfred. I had read about these young recruits in spy journals. The party identified them early and bestowed them with important missions. And this one, sent by Gauleiter Koch himself. He was worthy of my favor. The knobby white-haired man with a little boy asked me to stop. Please, wait for the rest of our group. The expectant mother, quite young, with tawdry lipstick, was crying and clinging to the young recruit. Don't cry, the recruit told her. I'll be on the ship later. Ah, I see. She is carrying your child, I said to him. No, they both replied in unison. She's Latvian, said the recruit. A friend of the nurse. She's concerned because she doesn't speak German. She understands a bit, but is not able to speak. Many in this evacuation share your handicap, I assured her. We have Croatian deckhands on the ship. They don't speak our language either, but somehow we communicate. Remember, her condition is fragile. The doctor gave you specific instructions to get her on board, the recruit said to me. We will watch over her, said the old man, putting his arm around the young mother. He gently pulled her from the recruit, who disappeared into the crowd. Tears streamed down her face. Such weakness. What was I to do with this crying woman? The little boy stood on one side, the old man on the other. The boy offered her an ugly stuffed rabbit. A feeling of pain and misery surrounded her entire spirit. It then occurred to me that this besotted and hormonal creature could present an opportunity. Despite her tears, she was Aryan, a fine specimen of the master race. She could be saved. Yes, Hannelore, amidst the grips of war, the beast of man emerges to conquer the ever-lurking infidel inside. My sword is drawn. Death to the man who tries to harm this Dulcinea.
Joanna. Throngs of wounded were emptied from the cars. As the trains unloaded, a convoy of ambulances arrived. Soldiers, still wrapped in mud-encrusted field coats, had been brought straight from battle. They howled with pain, reaching for me, for anyone, with desperate eyes. Some I could identify quickly, typhus, dysentery, pneumonia. Others required the opening of their coat to discover missing limbs, gunshot blasts, and tank treads. Dr. Richter's instructions were explicit. If you are certain they can survive the voyage, log them for registration. Only if you are certain. Many would not survive the voyage. They wouldn't survive the hour. Their bodies and voices trembled with the delirium of death. My son wants the book Max and Moritz for his birthday, a soldier repeated, eyes closed, blood leaking from the sides of his mouth. Please, Max and Moritz for his birthday. How many do you have? Asked the doctor following our rapid examinations. 73 to register. 212 unable. 73? Then with my list we're full. Are you sure they all have a chance? Yes. I spoke without hesitation. I wasn't sure, but I was sure I wanted to try. I leaned down to tell the soldier that he would see his son and give him the book. He was already dead. The condition of the soldier spoke to the fate of the Reich. The voice was clear. Defeat. But I would get these wounded men on the big ship. The Wilhelm Gustloff would save them.
Amelia. The knight was gone. Joanna was gone. The sailor marched us to registration, quietly chanting the phrase, "You go, Slav." He was fidgety and blinked constantly. The knight thought he could dupe the sailor. Maybe he could. But what would that mean for me? We approached the registration area near the water. Lines of applicants snaked in endless turns. Wealthy Germans in luxurious clothing stood in one line. Military personnel in another. The remaining lines were full of weary refugees and families. "I'm not getting in line," announced Ava. "I want to wait for our cart. All of my valuables are on that wagon. I don't want to leave without them." "But Ava, dear, your shoes are carrying your most valuable possession, your life. Do not delay. Everything else can be replaced," said the shoe poet. "My mother's silver is on that wagon. I'm waiting," she insisted. The sailor continued on, completely unaware that one in our group had departed. He brought us into the line for party officials. He then changed his mind and took us directly to the front of the refugee line. Others, who had been waiting, protested. Despite the bitter cold, I began to sweat. I opened my coat and took a deep breath. The soldiers in charge stopped the sailor and demanded an explanation for our jumping the line. "I have 4 passengers. Direct request from Dr. Richter." "I see only 3, noted the soldier. "Can't you even count?" "I am quite good at math." The sailor turned around. "Where is the huge gorilla woman?" "Well, I have 3 passengers. Direct request from Dr. Richter. And this one is with child." He turned to the soldier and sneered. "So that makes 4, doesn't it? Can't you even count?" He pulled me up to the counter, squarely in front of the registration officers. "There we are, Frau. Show them your papers," he commanded.
Florian. I sat inside near the back door of the movie house. Had I pegged the sailor correctly, or had I judged too quickly? Was there really a desperate hero inside of him, or just a nervous skin condition? My mistake in trusting Dr. Lange plagued me. Perhaps my judgment was unreliable. From the very first day, Father saw Dr. Lange for the manipulative and evil human being he was. I made excuses for him, desperate to validate the reasons he chose to work with me. I wanted to believe his motivation was to save and preserve the treasures of the art world. One stormy night, last July, a large painting arrived via truck with armed guards. Dr. Lange was dining with colleagues, and I accepted the arrival from the soldiers. I unpacked the piece to display for Dr. Lange, inspecting it to see if restoration or repair would be necessary. I recognized the winter hunting scene immediately. The artist was Julian Fallot, a Polish painter. Fallot's art was featured in books at the Institute. The painting was treasured by the Poles. It was the property of Poland. The Nazis, under the greedy direction of Erich Koch, had stolen it. A few days later,
I found my letters unopened in Dr. Langa's drawer. I felt ill. He had claimed we were a team, yet never bothered to open my letters, didn't care what I had to say. I sat on my bed for a full day, sick with dread that Father was right about Langa. I replayed every interaction in my head, analyzing them from all angles. The pieces of art cloaked under tarps, the whispers, the handshakes, the deliveries late at night. I wanted to be wrong, but I always came to the same conclusion. Koch and Langa weren't saving the treasures of Europe. They were stealing them. And, unknowingly, I had been helping. The following day I left my small apartment near the museum and took a train to Tilsit. My father would know what to do. Together we would figure something out. I arrived home to find our front door hanging by one hinge. The house was ransacked. Our neighbor quickly emerged and whisked me into her cottage.
"I'm so sorry, Florian," she said, crying. "Your father... you're too late."
"Amelia, show them your papers," commanded the sailor. They weren't my papers. They were hers, the Latvian who had lost her life to winter and war on the side of a road. Perhaps she paused to rest and froze to death. What right did I have to pilfer her identity? And if I got on a ship, where would it go? I wanted to go home.
"You, in the pink hat," commanded the officer. "I don't have all day. Show me your papers."
He pointed to the identity card trembling in my hand. I couldn't move. He stood up to face me.
"What's going on here?"
The shoe poet softly placed his hand on my shoulder. "Una, dear, are you all right?" Una. How could I steal Una?
"As you can see, Una's quite far along," said Poet, "and she appears to be ill."
The sailor, Alfred, snapped the papers from my hand and handed them to the official. The officer sighed.
"I already had a kid get sick on my desk. Move her aside," he said.
Poet pulled me away from the table. The wandering boy petted my coat.
"Her nurse is assisting Dr. Richter at the ambulance train," said the sailor. "She asked me to bring the expectant mother for registration." "We're registering, but not boarding yet," said the officer. "Everyone must be inspected first."
The sailor looked toward me with an odd smile.
"Oh, please do inspect her. Don't you see? The hair, the eyes," he said. "An exquisite specimen. Her offspring shall no doubt be the same."
"I can't," I whispered to Poet. This wasn't right. I had no right.
"You must," he nodded. "For your child."
The officer reviewed the papers. Heat prickled up my cold neck. The sound of muffled crying floated nearby.
"Madam," said Alfred to a tearful woman behind us, "what do you have there?"
"Nothing," said the woman, pulling a bundle close to her chest. "She's sleeping."
"Is the child ill?" he asked. "We cannot register those with contagion."
The woman's tears turned to sobs.
"No, she's not ill. She's sleeping."
Alfred turned to face the woman and pulled back the blanket. He sneered.
"She's not sleeping. She's dead. Officer, this child is deceased."
Alfred peered at the dead baby with studious fascination. The mother's strength was no match for her grief.
Her body quaked as she tried to speak, choking breaths between her words.
No, please. She's just asleep. I swear. Don't take her from me.
The officer whistled to a nearby sentry and motioned him over. The woman sobbed, clutching the bundle.
No, please, I can't leave her here. Don't take my baby. Please don't take my baby.
Pandemonium ensued. The shoemaker turned to me, his eyes full of tears. Do you see, my dear? The proverbs are at play. I wept because I had no shoes, until I met a man who had no feet. I cried out, faking labor, and fell to my knees on the dock.
Alfred. Hello, my Hannalora. Such a trying day already, and it's only just begun. Against all odds, I found a nurse for our ship's doctor, Dr. Richter. It was an impossible task, but like so many other occasions, I was able to make the impossible possible. My first assignment was to register the nurse's patients for embarkation on the Gustloff. There was an old shoemaker, with a type of grotesque knuckles that distress me greatly, a small boy, and a young pregnant Latvian who spoke awful German but had the favored features of the Reich. Once again, I drew my sword and laid my cape for Germany, helping the woman cross my cloak to safety. Yet another saved for the Vaterland. Something else quite astounding took place this morning. I am assisting a young recruit on a very important mission for Gauleiter Koch. Perhaps you don't understand the significance Koch has in this war. He is the regional Nazi party leader, second only to Hitler in this area. Koch successfully obliterated Ukraine. This young recruit has papers signed by Koch himself, indicating he is a courier carrying a valuable treasure for the Reich. Of course, I'm handling the matter with the greatest discretion and not disclosing even the slightest detail. After all, perhaps I shall have occasion to meet Koch myself. My catalogue of heroics is growing so rapidly I can scarcely keep track. I am enjoying a bit of quietude in my private toilet right now to strategize for the next undertaking. Duty calls as the young recruit awaits me. I have to be in my tip-top condition for such a mission. It was so nice and warm in the toilets. I decided to stay a bit longer.
Joanna. In a matter of hours, the crowds had doubled in Gotenhafen. The stethoscope around my neck detained me as I walked. People saw it and ran out of bombed buildings and craters, begging for aid and medicine. I tried to help a woman whose face was blackened with frostbite.
I used to be beautiful,
she whispered, her eyes vacant. The scars will fade, I told her.
Can you give me a cigarette?
I shook my head. I don't have any. A cigarette was akin to gold. Her fingers stroked the cracked, blackened skin on her chin.
I'm so ugly now. Do you have a cigarette?
She repeated. I put the stethoscope in my bag and pushed my way through the swarm of people to the port. In my pocket, I had the boarding pass that Dr. Richter had secured for me. Where was our group? Had the sailor registered them? If Emilio was having difficulty, I needed to help her.
Joanna!
Ava's head towered above the throngs of people. She walked toward me alone. Where are the others? I asked.
I haven't seen them.
You didn't register together?
No, she said. I walked hundreds of kilometers with that cart. My silver and dishes are in that wagon. I'm sorry, but I'm not letting some peasant family make off with all of those valuables.
Ava, there's no time. The Russians are upon us. They could invade this port at any moment.
Once the wagon comes, I'll register. No, you must register now. The doctor told me the port will soon be overrun with nearly 1 million people. The Gustloff and other boats are leaving soon. Secure your passage now. Give the card and horse to someone who needs it. She seemed to consider my urging. Have you seen the others? I asked.
I left them with that strange sailor.
She turned and began talking to another woman. Ava, wait! Did Amelia get through? I pressed.
I don't know. The sailor took her, the shoemaker, and the boy to registration. That was the last I saw of them.
And what about Florian? I asked. She looked at me confused.
Florian? Who's Florian?
Amelia. On September 1st, 1939, Germany invaded Poland from the west. On September 17th, 1939, Russia invaded Poland from the east. I remembered these dates. Two warring nations gripped Poland like girls fighting over a doll. One held the leg, the other the arm. They pulled so hard that one day, the head popped off. The Nazis sent our people to ghettos and concentration camps. The Soviets sent our people to gulags and Siberia. I was 9 years old when it started. People changed. Faces shriveled and sunk like baked apples. Neighbors spoke in whispers. I watched them play their games. I observed them when they weren't looking. I learned. But how long could I play this game? A ploy of war both outside and inside. What would happen if I actually made it to the West? Would I be able to reveal myself as Amelia Stojek, a girl from Lvov? Would Germany be safe for me? Once the war ended, which side would be the right side for a Pole?
Florian. Hours passed. The sailor didn't come to the movie house. My mind coursed through the possibilities. He was busy, assigned more tasks. He forgot. Maybe he wasn't as gullible as I thought. And what about Johanna? Would she look for me? I debated whether to leave the movie house. With every minute that passed, more refugees poured into Gotenhafen. Fewer ships would be available. The Reich would grow more desperate. Josef Goebbels, the composer of blustery Nazi propaganda, had been issuing nonsense statements for years. He tried to boost morale with lies. Total victory will be ours! Hold strong! But victory had slipped through their fingers. Their hands were sticky with blame. And now the Russians drew closer. I looked at the newly issued propaganda leaflet I had found outside the movie house. It was titled, Victory or Death. We are Germans. There are two possibilities. Either we are good Germans, or we are bad ones. If we are good Germans, all is well. If we are bad Germans, then there are two possibilities. Ridiculous. I couldn't read the rest. I folded the leaflet and put it in my pocket. Goebbels was right about one thing. There were good Germans and bad Germans. But in truth, the labels were currently applied in reverse. Those perceived as deserters would be executed. The longer I waited, the greater the odds that Lange would discover my betrayal. Had he broken into my apartment or the secret room below the castle? Had he already searched the crates? Or worse, perhaps Nazi leader Erich Koch was standing on the dock right now, waiting for me.
Alfred. Life vests and floats. That was my new assignment. Collect as many life vests and floats as I could find. I was glad of the task outside, as it would finally give me a chance to visit the movie house and the young recruit. This was becoming exciting, just like the Carl May adventure novels that Hannalora loved so well. But where exactly was the movie house? It was bitterly cold outside. The hairs inside my nose gummed and froze. A long walk would not be tolerable. I spotted the old man and the young boy standing under a damaged building with a large clock. My pulse raced as the crumbling theater came into view. Yes, yes, I would do this. I would be in best favor with leaders of the party when the recruit revealed that I had helped him. I walked through the snow around back and realized I had forgotten the number of knocks. No matter. The door stood open and people moved in and out freely. The movie house overflowed with refugees. The smell was quite unpleasant. Baggage and personal articles towered on top of the seats. A shrill whistle sounded. It came from the pregnant Latvian woman. She pointed above, toward the ceiling. I suppose she was suffering the feminine hysteria common to pregnant women. But then I saw the recruit, standing in the small window of the projection booth. It took me quite a while to find the stairs, and I was belabored of breath once I climbed them. I approached the closed door at the top of the stairway. Was this where I was supposed to use the secret knock? The door flew open. The recruit pulled me inside. The tiny dark room smelled of cigarettes. I waved my hand in front of my face, hoping to clear the air. "You want to smoke?" asked the recruit, pacing the floor. "I don't partake," I told him. "Do you have it?" He spoke in code, but I knew what he meant. The pass. I tried to remember the terminology used in the spy magazines, but could not recall any. So I just slowly whispered, "Yes." His coat shifted and I saw a pistol in his waistband. I quickly produced the pass. "You're a good man," he told me. He then handed me a leaflet labeled Victory or Death. "Have you read that one?" he asked. "No," I admitted. "It speaks of good Germans and bad Germans. You are a good German." "Thank you." I felt a glow of confidence within me. "Permission to ask a question?" He smiled. "Permission granted." "How will you manage? The pass is blank. It will need to be filled out and also stamped officially for you to board. They will have a complete manifest." "Yes, I know. Leave that to me. Now, friend, before boarding begins and all hell breaks loose, I need you to bring me the nurse." "The pretty nurse from this morning?" I asked. He stopped pacing. "You think she's pretty?" I had heard other sailors talk often of girls, sometimes in graphic detail. And of course I had my Hannalora. "Yes," I grinned. "In my experience, the nurse would certainly rate as attractive." He stared at the pass. "Can you find her? Tell her that her patient needs her. Make sure you use the word need, sailor." "But where will I find her?" "She promised the pregnant girl she would come for her. She's probably on her way here." "Ah, yes. She did seem most concerned for the Latvian." The recruit turned to me, lighting the stub of a cigarette. "The pretty nurse," he said. "Her name is Joanna. And when it comes to her, sailor..." He clapped me on the shoulder, exhaling a scarf of smoke. "I've heard she's already spoken for."
Joanna. Dr. Richter would be angry. Instead of following him to the ship, I had left him with hundreds of wounded men. Blessed, reliable poet. He stood under the clock in the cold, the wandering boy playing in a mound of snow near his feet. "See," he said to the boy, "I told you she would come." The wandering boy jumped up and hugged my leg. "Hello, little one." I looked to poet. "Were you able to get passes?" "4 hours in that line. But yes, we were given passes.
I was nearly conscripted to repair military boots. To be truthful, I think little Klaus was the only reason I was granted a pass. Small children are a priority.
And what about Amelia?
It was a mess. That blathering sailor pushed her to the front of the line. It drew more attention.
Poet frowned.
The girl. She was terrified. I had to push her, but she finally caught on and feigned contractions, lying on the ground, wailing. Then the soldiers wanted to put her on the boat immediately, but she said she wouldn't go without you, her nurse. They were only too happy to be rid of her. That silly sailor was so frightened by the threat of birthing that he lost all color and nearly keeled over.
But did she get a pass? Where is she now? I asked.
Oh, yes. The pregnant Latvian got herself a pass. She's in the movie theater. She insisted on waiting for you. Where is Sorry Ava?
Ava's in line for registration. We have to hurry. I need to get back. They're boarding the wounded tonight. I want to take Amelia with me. The rest of you may board tomorrow. The young sailor suddenly appeared.
Aha! There you are, Fraulein!
He moved uncomfortably close and began to whisper.
Your patient says he needs you in the movie house. I stress, Fraulein, he needs you.
I looked at him, confused. What did he mean?
He used those very words himself.
The sailor stared at me, blinking rapidly. We left the sailor and ran to the movie house.
Florian. Joanna pushed through the door of the projection room, flushed and out of breath.
Are you okay? She asked.
That was quick, I said with a smile. She looked at me, annoyed there was no emergency.
I have to get back to the ship. I'm taking Amelia. Poet and the boy will board tomorrow. Ava still hasn't registered.
I nodded. She stared at me, evaluating, then crossed her arms over her chest.
I'm not to be summoned whenever you please. I don't know what you're playing, and I'm not sure I want to know. But I think I deserve to know your name. Is it really Florian Beck?
You don't believe me? I reached in my pocket and handed her my identity card.
What sort of name is Florian? She asked, looking at my identity photo.
My mother named me after a 16th-century painter, Florian Abel. She shrugged, satisfied, and handed back my papers. I lit the remainder of my cigarette and passed it to her.
I'm on the Wilhelm Gustloff, she said,
taking a drag and passing it back to me. Are you inviting me? I grinned.
I have a feeling you'd find your way on if you wanted to.
I couldn't tell if she was amused or annoyed. Can I see your boarding pass? I asked. She removed it from her papers and handed it to me. She walked to the little projection box and looked down at the theater. I studied her pass, taking note of every detail. Where's the Gustloff going?
To Kiel, she responded.
Kiel was nearly 300 nautical miles away, at the northern tip of Germany. It was close to the border of Denmark, close to where my sister, Annie, might be. I stared at the pass.
I think I understand now, said Joanna. When you need something, you start talking to me.
Is that right? I changed the subject. You seem happy working with the doctor. I bet you were top of your class. She laughed.
Yes, top of my class, but what does that mean now? Can you believe I used to study instead of going to the beach?
She shook her head.
But I do like helping people. And I like being one step closer to my mother.
She stared down below.
All those children. There are so many.
I moved in behind her and looked over her shoulder. The wandering boy clutched his rabbit and waved up at us. We waved back. I especially like the little boy, I whispered. Ioana turned, her face suddenly close to mine. Why? She asked. He takes care of one-eared bunnies. I grinned and touched my ear. She let out a small laugh. I like that, she said, pointing to my mouth. What? You look completely different when you smile. We stood, staring at each other. The space between us narrowed. We were close, nearly touching. Her chin raised toward me. I looked down at her lips.
I should probably go, she whispered.
I nodded slowly and handed back her pass. We waited, silent. She suddenly looked embarrassed.
Well, goodbye then, she said,
slowly stepping away from me. I said nothing, just watched her walk through the door and close it behind her. I exhaled, unaware that I had been holding my breath.
Alfred. Ahoy there, Hannalora! Ahoy is a term we seasoned sailors use. I am standing at this moment on the top deck of the Gustloff. Evening and darkness have arrived. Tethered to the pier around us are many ships of all configurations. Sitting opposite is Hansa, a large vessel also a flurry with activity and preparation. Two lighthouses stand guard at the mouth of the harbor, yet they are not illuminated. No need to wave at the Russian planes above, you see. Today I progressed from my traditional excellence to something altogether more interesting. As you may remember, the Wilhelm Gustloff was built not for luxury cruising of the privileged. Hitler built the Gustloff for the everyman. The carpenter, the postman, the locksmith, and even the housewife. But now the everyman's ship shall in fact carry very important people. The Gustloff will transport our wounded men, officers, and priority passengers whose identities I am helping to conceal. Yes, aren't you curious to hear more about the young recruit? That is all I will say today. I mustn't empty my net too quickly. I must keep you, my little fish, swimming to the top of the water for food. You are of the fairer sex, and for that I am glad. May your fingers never know a fist. May your ears never ring with the call of duty. Before this war is over, all men will have an opportunity to reveal their true selves. I welcome that opportunity. To be a hero requires difficult choices and sacrifice. Each man can respond only when the finger of bravery curls and beckons him forth. That finger, it beckons me, Hannalora. I feel it.
Ioana. Amelia wanted to wait for Florian. I grabbed her by the hand and pulled her out of the cinema, assuring the others we'd see them tomorrow. A thick procession of wagons and evacuees clogged the road to the port. The gray stone buildings lining the cobbled street were pockmarked, missing their doors and windows. Interior rooms were now visible, like a broken dollhouse. I saw a beautiful mahogany desk with a typewriter, the chandelier above swinging in the wind. A faded and torn banner of Hitler flapped from the splintered window of a perfume shop. It said, Volk ans Gewehr. People, get to your gun. Did Lithuania and Poland look this bad, too? Our papers and passes were checked as we entered the harbor. As we approached the ship, and then again near the gangway, the soldiers instructed us to board and report to a desk on B deck. Amelia's hand trembled in mine as we walked up the gangway through the open cavity on the side of the Gustloff. Inside, the ship was a floating city, a warm one. Enormous would be an understatement. It appeared that amidst the chaos outside, the Germans were preparing and insisting on a very orderly boarding process. Signs were in place to direct passengers. Once we reached B deck, we were told to proceed to the promenade deck where a